World Making, 1981. I was invited to participate in a symposium called Lost Worlds and Future Worlds at Stanford University in 1981. The text of my short contribution follows. A slightly garbled version of it was printed in Women Writers of the West Coast by Marilyn Yalom, Capra Press, 1983. We're supposed to be talking about world-making. The idea of making makes me think of making new, making a new world, a different world. Middle Earth, say, or the planets of science fiction. That's the work of the fantastic imagination. Or there's making the world new, making the world different, a utopia or dystopia. The work of the political imagination. But what about making the world, this world, the old one? That seems to be the province of the religious imagination, or of the will to survive. They may be the same thing. The old world is made new at the birth of every baby, and every New Year's Day, and every morning. And the Buddhist says, at every instant. That, in every practical sense, we make the world we inhabit is pretty well beyond question. But I leave it to the philosophers to decide whether we make it all from scratch. Tastes like a scratch world, but it's Bishop Berkeley's Cosmo mix. Or whether we patch it together by a more or less judicious selection of what strikes us as useful or entertaining in the inexhaustible chaos of the real. In either case, what artists do is make a particularly skillful selection of fragments of cosmos, unusually useful and entertaining bits, chosen and arranged to give an illusion of coherence and duration amidst the uncontrollable streaming of events. An artist makes the world her world. An artist makes her world the world. For a little while. For as long as it takes to look at or listen to or watch or read the work of art. Like a crystal, the work of art seems to contain the whole and to imply eternity. And yet all it is an explorer's sketch map, a chart of shorelines on a foggy coast. To make something is to invent it, to discover it, to uncover it, like Michelangelo cutting away the marble that hid the statue. Perhaps we think less often of the proposition reversed. Thus, to discover something is to make it. As Julius Caesar said, the existence of Britain was uncertain until I went there. We can safely assume that the ancient Britons were perfectly certain of the existence of Britain, down to such details as where to go for the best woad. But, as Einstein said, it all depends on how you look at it. And as far as Rome, not Britain, is concerned, Caesar invented, invenire, to come into, to come upon, Britain. He made it be, for the rest of the world. Alexander the Great sat down and cried, somewhere in the middle of India, I think, because there were no more new worlds to conquer. What a silly man he was. There he sits sniveling, halfway to China. A conqueror. Conquistadores, always running into new worlds, and quickly running out of them. Conquest is not finding, and it is not making. Our culture, which conquered what is called the New World, and which sees the world of nature as an adversary to be conquered. Look at us now, running out of everything. The name of our meeting is Lost Worlds and Future Worlds. Whether our ancestors came seeking gold, or freedom, or as slaves, we are the conquerors, we who live here now, in possession, in the new world. We are the inhabitants of a lost world. It is utterly lost. Even the names are lost. The people who lived here in this place, on these hills, for tens of thousands of years, are remembered, when they are remembered at all, in the language of the conquistadores, the costanos, the Santa Claras, the San Franciscos, names taken from foreign demigods. 63 years ago, in the Handbook of the Indians of California, my father wrote, "The Costanoan group is extinct so far as all practical purposes are concerned. A few scattered individuals survive. The larger part of a century has passed since the missions were abolished, and nearly a century and a half since they commenced to be founded. These periods have sufficed to efface even traditional recollections of the forefathers' habits, except for occasional fragments." Here is one such fragment, a song. They sang it here, under the live oaks. But there weren't any wild oats here then, only the Californian bunch grasses. The people sang, "I dream of you. I dream of you jumping. Rabbit, jackrabbit, and quail." And one line is left of a dancing song. "Dancing on the brink of the world." With such fragments, I might have shored my ruin, but I didn't know how. Only knowing that we must have a past to make a future with, I took what I could from the European-based culture of my own forefathers and mothers. I learned, like most of us, to use whatever I could, to filch an idea from China and steal a god from India, and so patched together a world as best I could. But still there is a mystery. This place where I was born and grew up and loved beyond all other, my world, my California, still needs to be made. To make a new world, you start with an old one, certainly. To find a world, maybe you have to have lost one. Maybe you have to be lost. The dance of renewal, the dance that made the world, was always danced here at the edge of things, on the brink, on the foggy coast.